We've been praying through the week for the Lord to bless the service this morning. And we wrote on the board spiritual gifts. We've been studying about, since before Easter, we studied about the death and then the resurrection of the Lord and what those things meant. Last week we studied about the Spirit of God and it being poured out to us in different parts of that. And this week we feel like the Lord's been talking to us about spiritual gifts, because they're very important in the church, and they're also very much misunderstood sometimes. Some are. And so we want to make a little effort to just give what the Lord, we feel like, has given us, and maybe it will be something that will bless us. The Lord said that he would send back gifts, and those are for the edification of the body. And so as we begin to look into those things this morning, we want to ask the Lord, Lord, here am I. Is there a little part that you want to use my life? And would you like to use me in some way? I think that's a fair gift back to the Lord, isn't it? To tell him we would really like him to have his way in our life, because as we're going to read quite a few scriptures this morning, I think we'll see the value and the importance of it. I want to start in Acts 13 and 2. It says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." You know, this morning, these men were not sitting by waiting for some great something to happen. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting and seeking God's pleasure, trying to do his will right where they were. And so I want to just make that the beginning of the context of this whole thing. The gift of the Lord, the different spiritual gifts, as we're going to read, is for the work of the work of God. It's for the body of Christ. And so when we begin to minister to the Lord, however they did this, I don't know what they were exactly saying. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. I would say they were doing the things at hand, the work that was at hand. I would say maybe they were attending services and being a part of all of that. And the Lord looked on that. And as they fasted before God, wanting his will and his thoughts, the Holy Ghost said, and it doesn't say to whom he said it, but the Holy Ghost worked. The Spirit of God said, I want you to separate Paul and Barnabas here because I have a work for them to do. And so they sent them out then by the Holy Spirit, and they were very effective in that work, and took that work all in different places, foreign places. If you want to see that, you can read Paul's journeys. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians 12, and before we're done, I hope to read most, if not all, of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It says here in 17 and 18 of 12, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" Paul, through the Spirit, talks about the work of God here and the gifting of God as a body is. And we'll read some of this in a few minutes, but there's not one gift that covers everything. But there's different gifts that make up the body. And the body of Christ is a lot like our human body. And Paul likens that to this all down through here. And he talks about if one was the eye, and, you know, then where's the you know, if there's not a nose, then where's the smelling? And, you know, the Lord has this all in his ideas. He has, if you wanted to call it, he has a plan for this. And he has his thoughts about it. And as they began to seek the Lord, then the Holy Spirit said, you separate Paul and Barnabas. I've got something for them to do. And I really believe that there's a calling and a gifting that the Lord wants to do in our lives that really completes our lives, and it helps complete the body too. And every one of us, we cannot say, I don't have a gift big enough to be a part, because our gift is just as important. Can you imagine any part of your body missing? You would have troubles, wouldn't you, if part of your body was missing? Now, some seem like you couldn't do without those parts, and others maybe you could do without your toes, but it would really hamper you, wouldn't it? And so it's very important, our gift in the Lord. And the verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So Christ in his church has a body. And it's just like the body that he made humanly, physically. And it has members in it. And all those members being very important, he said, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That means every part, every one of us, we're members of the body of Christ. When we are saved and especially filled with the Spirit of God, there's something there that God wants to use us for. And I hope this morning, and I pray, that the Lord will just open our hearts and minds to minister to the Lord and to give him our life. Wherever we're at and whatever level we think we're at, whether we think we're the bottom of the barrel or whether we think we're something, I hope that we can humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, I know that through the Spirit that you can separate and you can use our life and make it useful. And I hope we want to do that, because that's the only way it's going to happen. In Colossians 1 and 24, it says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You know, in spiritual terms, the church is the Lord's body. That's what he works through. That's what he uses. And so many times. And I know the Spirit of the Lord works all over the world. Everywhere he can, he will work. I will tell you, he wants to work through his body too. In Ephesians 4 and 11, we get a little clearer picture. And I feel like the Lord has some things for us here, if you'll pray for us. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of the things and all the gifts he gave are for the building up of his body. It's for the reaching out. It's for the help of people. All the work of God that he has given. And so he said, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That edifying means to build up. And so the Lord wants to do that. And that's the only reason he gives gifts. He doesn't give any gifts to magnify a person. He gives gifts to build up the body of Christ, to be usable. And so, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The Lord puts these gifts in place because he wants us all to grow up unto him to be a full man. He wants us to have good understanding of the things of God. And so he works. He works through the Sunday school teachers. He works through mom and dad. He works through each one of us in the congregation on Wednesday night. He works through the preaching of the word. And the Lord works through all those things, does he not? that we henceforth, let's see, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't we know, and you know, and I know, and we're very well aware that there are hundreds, maybe thousands, I suppose there is, of doctrines, of beliefs. And how are we supposed to sort through those things? The Spirit of God wants to sort through those things for us. He doesn't want us to live in a state of confusion all the days of our life. And the Lord has placed in His body, and He wants to place you in His body as a part of that. And so that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See how the Lord uses different analogies and things all the time to help us to understand every wind. Just a wind comes blowing through and it just blows things away, doesn't it? It blows dirt in and all those things. That's the way doctrines do. That's the way ideas come in the world today. And you see them take over and you wonder, how could it be? Well, it was a wind. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Christ is the head, he says. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in love. And so this morning, I just want to work with a number of things. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 says, even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. You know, this morning, every gift, as we've already said, is just simply there for the edifying of the work of Christ. It's for the edifying, the building up of the body. The building up of the body. That's what it's for, every gift. And then, again, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 12. And we see here in verses 4 to 6, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You know, this morning, the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit withal. That means to profit the whole body, and to be that way. And I was thinking about the work that's done in building projects, because that's what I'm most associated with. That's what I understand best. You know that there are so many different trades and gifts that make things happen. There are people that can do about all of it, but it's going to be slow most of the time. It's not going to quite be as efficient. But you know, when you bring in, there has to be these different kinds of administrations and gifts. And one person, they see the whole picture. And they, that's just the way they think. And it puts together a plan, a project happens, doesn't it? And then you have your plumbers, your electricians, your carpenters, your concrete men, all of those people working together. And which one of them would we say we'll do without? We don't have to have plumbing in our houses, do we? For centuries, they didn't have plumbing in their houses. But we could do without them, couldn't we? Could we? You say no. But they did without it for most of the world's history. You know what? There's a lot of things. They didn't have plumbers. You know, this morning, There are things like that in the body. And if we feel like we can do without something, it sure is nice to have plumbers, isn't it? Sure is nice to have indoor plumbing, isn't it? I think it is. You know, this morning, the body of Christ is a lot like that. If we devalue some gift, and that might be our gift, if we devalue that gift, there may be a piece missing. I don't know which of the trades I'd want to do without. The electricians, I sure wouldn't want to do without them. You really can't do without the carpenters and have a house. You have to have them. You have to have roofers, or your house would fall down after a while. You know, those things seem to be so necessary, but aren't they all necessary? This morning, as we look into the Word, I ask the Lord to open our minds, because there is a lot of confusion about gifts too, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. And I want to say this: there's even a gift at keeping a job site clean. Did you know that? There's a brother that we all know, many of us know, if you've been on the job sites, and he keeps it clean. You know what that does? Makes us able to work unimpeded. It's just so nice to have. Do we have to keep it clean? No, we could just stomp all over everything and keep going. And sometimes we've done that. But you know, those things are so necessary. And they make it so nice to have. And I believe the Lord wants us to see that picture this morning, that all those things are really necessary. I want to read some more in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let's just keep that in mind. Folks, anywhere we see, because part of my burden this morning is that we get a clear picture of how God works and how He doesn't work. Because there is a lot of false spirits in the world today. A lot. And there is a lot of ideas. There is a lot of people claiming to be things. And it's not the thing. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not the work of the Spirit of God. And I believe the Lord wants us to know the Spirit of the Lord is given to us to profit with all. That means everybody. It's given to profit the whole. For to one is given by the Spirit, we're going to read a ways here, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Sometimes we look to one and we feel like, you know, that they are so blessed. But I want to tell you something. I've seen people that were so blessed that seemed like their gift of wisdom was a little bit on the lacking side. Have you ever seen that? Sure we have. Do you know the Lord wants us to lean on one another a little bit? He wants us to recognize the body is one. We work together. We pull together. We help one another in the work of the Lord. And so to one is given the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so he's just simply restating what we've been talking about. As the body, the human body, is one, and it's all kinds of members, so is the body of Christ. And the Lord wants us to recognize that and to minister to Him in the capacity we are in now, and to fast and pray before Him, okay, at times when we need to fast, and let the Lord have His way in our life. It's a very necessary thing for us to present ourselves to the Lord and let Him use our gift. That requires a pulling together with the body, doesn't it? It requires an integrating. There is no finger that's loose from the hand. It's only attached and it's only integrated. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I hope we recognize this morning that it doesn't matter what plane that we think that we are on, what social status, what color we are, what country we came from. If we see those things and we let them be big in our minds, we are making a grave error in the things of God. A grave error. We can look at other people in that way. It's a grave error. We can look at ourselves that way. It's a grave error. Do you know the Lord wants us to know? I can be right where the Lord wants me to be. He can pour out His Spirit on me wherever I am. I can be in that place. As long as I am a clean vessel, I make myself usable to the Lord, He can pour out His Spirit on me too. And so this morning, let's look at it that way, folks. I wish that we never had to hear again the word prejudice. It bothers me. I hate that word. I want to tell you something, folks. We are all one blood. I don't care what country we have come from or what we look like or whether we're a male or a female or anything else. God can still use us in the way He wants to. And He wants us to not limit ourselves, and He wants us to not limit others because of any of those issues. And so this morning, when we look at the gifting of the Lord, it's to bless the body of Christ. And who is the body? All the people of God. That's who it is. And so we have a local body here, don't we? Where we all meet together. Folks, the Lord wants us to enlarge our vision, I believe. And realize, it is not in me. It is as I minister to the Lord and I pray and seek Him and I humble myself to Him, then He can work however He wants to. And when He is the one working, I want to tell you something, it'll bring all the glory to God. And if it doesn't do that, and you ever hear me start talking about me, I want to tell you something, I've gotten off track. And if we ever hear others start talking about themselves like that. Do you know, I hear sometimes, from time to time, out and around, I'm not talking about among the saints, people lifting themselves up. People allowing others to lift them up. I want to share with us this morning, the only gifts God gives is for the benefit of everyone else. It is a serving and a service from start to finish. And all the glory goes to God. And if it's ever any other way than that, it's not God. God won't work that way. So the Lord help us today that we get a good vision of the body of Christ and how it works. Because we see, when we see anyone, and I want to urge us this morning, and I know you might say, well, why would you be talking about that? Because it comes closer than you think. Listen, when somebody begins to lift someone else up in a manner that is so special and so above others, I want to tell you, that's of Satan. That is not the Lord. That's a wrong and an evil spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is one where every member is just simply a member of the body. Which member do we look at and say, oh, that's really amazing? You know, it is amazing. We have fingers that work. It is amazing. And it works just right in sync with that bone down inside there, doesn't it? It works right in sync with those ligaments and tendons and all those things. It wouldn't work at all without them. Is that right? That's true. And so when we see the body of Christ, Lord, expand our vision and use our lives and help us to minister to You in just the humblest fashion. Help us to just do Your work and let You gift and let You call and let You separate. I love that scripture where Paul and Barnabas were separated into the work. That was a calling of God. That was the work of God in their life. Oh, don't the Lord want to do that for all of us? I really believe He does. Every one of us. In many different ways. For as by the Spirit Verse 13, we read that, whether we be bond or free. That's talking about slaves. That's talking about whatever social status we are on, folks. We're not to look at one and say, you sit back over here and you sit up here. We're not to even want that. Amen. We're all brothers and sisters. Amen. And have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Isn't that beautiful this morning? I love the fact that Paul did not go to school, train. He did go to school, but he did not become who he was because he trained for it. He was called of God and blessed. And so was those fishermen. So were those fishermen, Peter and those that were fishermen back there. So was that tax collector, Matthew. The Lord called, and he put in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And then it goes on to talk about valuing the members of the body. And we enjoy that too. The Lord help us to value all the members of the body. Just value the one that's newest and youngest, and yet they've got that something that God put in them. Isn't that beautiful this morning? We start drop on down now to verse 27, and it says, "Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular." You catch that? Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. That means, now he's been talking about the body being like this human body. Every member has a place, has a work to do. It was very important. And he says, you're the body of Christ and you have our member in particular. And you have a part to do and a part to play in the body. And the Spirit of the Lord and God is the head. And he wants to regulate all that. And he wants to be able to use you and me. And I'll tell you the only thing that can keep him from doing that. And that's me saying, I can't or I won't. Because the Lord wants to use those particular members. And he loves to. Isn't it beautiful to see the work of the Lord through other people? It's wonderful this morning. And God has set some in the church. Again, we read this. This is a different reading. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? What's the answer to that? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. I put the no's in there, but it's understood, isn't it? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Do you know that what Paul's saying here is, I'm going to show you something even greater than the gifts. And without it, the gifts can't operate properly. And so then he goes on with the whole 13th. He just interjects the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians in between the 12th and the 14th. Talking about the work of the Spirit of God. Do you know this morning? He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's what he says. It's not of any profit at all. So what the Lord is really looking for is those vessels that keep themselves clean and filled with the love of God. And how are you really going to be able to love people like the Lord spoke of it in the Scriptures without the Spirit of God? It's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? So before we think about gifts and those kind of things, we need to ask the Lord, fill me up. Fill me up until the fruit that comes out of my life reflects your Spirit. Fill me up, Lord. Because if I do, if I'm eloquent or if I'm gifted in many ways and people admire you, but we don't have love and we don't have that Spirit of the Lord and the fruits of the Spirit that only God can give. Because that's where we get tripped up. Somebody was telling me one time, they just, when it comes to living holy and things like that, they just, that seems like, that's quite a bit. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants to work in our hearts and lives. Let's minister to Him where we are, when we are. And let's present ourselves to Him. Lord, fill up my life. And give me of your Spirit. And teach me of your Spirit. I want to notice something else here in the 12th chapter. When we read those, and he says, are all apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers of miracles, healing, gifts of speak with tongues, interpreting? I want us to understand the gifting of the Spirit of the Lord, because there are so many misunderstandings in our world today. I want to tell you, these things, sometimes people will center on one, and well, that person is filled with the Spirit because, I want to tell you, we're filled with the Spirit because we have a body, because you see, we have a body, right? It's human, it's spirit, that's a body. We have the Spirit of the Lord because the fruits of it are the Spirit of God. That's the evidence of the Spirit of the Lord. He said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses for me in all the world. And there isn't any other way for us to truly be a witness for the Lord but through that avenue. And so this morning, the evidence is not that we speak in tongues, that we give gifts, that we have a gift of healing, or any. That's not the evidence. The evidence is that God is within our life. And then the Lord wants to pour out upon us His giftings this morning. For the work of His body and of His work in the world today. The last verse, 31, says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know, I want to drop back now to the first three verses of this chapter, 12, and see what it says when we begin the chapter. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so this whole chapter is written in great part to the response of what he's trying to say here. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant, because when we're ignorant, we're liable to be taken advantage of, aren't we? If we don't know how to count money when we go pay for something, we're liable to get taken. Is that right? We will by and by. But the Lord wants us to know a little bit about the spiritual gifts and what they mean. He goes on to say, I wouldn't have you be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now what he's saying there isn't any man that can, he's not talking about us saying a few words here. You cannot in your life reflect the power of God in your life unless you have the power of God. And so it says, No man can say that Jesus is Lord of his life. No man is able to confess that to the world in everyday living except by God and by his power. And he says here that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. It's important for us to know these things. Do you know that the Jews notoriously had prophets through the years, didn't they? And Paul simply said, even if they claim to prophesy to you that Jesus is accursed, that he wasn't the fulfillment of the Messiah, he said, they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. So you know what? There's times for us to know what is the Lord and what isn't. And it needs to be founded on principles that wherever we go, in whatever situation we're in, it'll help to guide us. When we get out there and we start seeing all these different manifestations and all kinds of things, because folks, we're in a world that is full of false ideas. It's full of things, full of people saying, we're all going to the same place. You know what? I just believe in my God. You believe in your God. Well, I want to tell you, that's not what the Scripture says. Let's found ourselves upon the Scripture. We don't have to judge those people. We don't have to. There's going to be times that the words that we say, speaking of the Lord's things, are going to judge people in a sense. But we don't have to be judgmental to people. The Lord came to save people. So the Lord help us today that we will have understanding. Peter said, 2 Peter 1 and 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now that tells us a couple of things. Men, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Not just anyone spake. So when Paul says here, I wouldn't have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, you remember to start with that if they start denying the power of the Lord, if they start denying God, you know right away that you want to get away from that. Is that all right? The Lord help us today. The Gentiles had their form of religion. The Jews had theirs. The Jews had their prophets, and they spoke against those men at the time. Those leaders at the time spoke against the Lord. And Paul says there isn't anybody that says Jesus is accursed that is speaking from the Holy Ghost. I want to look at another thing here, and I think it's important for us to chalk this down in our bank of memory. Acts 8 and 9. We've spoken of it already some. But it says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Well, we've got a clue right there to a problem, don't we? He was giving out of himself that he was some great one. When we hear somebody speaking that, and I would that people that are in this kind of thing right now, that we know, would hear this, would understand. This man bewitched these people, I don't know how many years, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You know, the gospel will just uncover that, won't it? Folks, we're all one, and we're all just little people. And when we see those giving out other movements and things like that, they are some great one, I'm going to tell you, don't ever fall to that. I'm saying that partly for the young folks, because people will bewitch others. And it says all of them, from the least to the greatest, gave heed to this man. It was the gospel that undermined that and cut that false philosophy out of their lives. Oh, this morning, the Lord wants us to magnify Him and Him only. The Spirit of God was promised as a comforter, a teacher, and guide into all truth, a purifier, one to give much more power to those who had it indwelling, rather than just with them, to be in them. One that would give gifts and callings unto men. Where there is power or there is money, there is imitations and there is treachery. And so when you see all these kind of things in the world today, we don't want to be unaware, folks. There is treachery. Satan, the father of treachery, the father of lies, comes into people's lives like that, makes them believe this is the great power of God. You know what God's doing? I'll tell you what, if it's not doing these things, then it's not of God this morning. And I'll read just a little farther there in Acts 12 and 4 to 7. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, where we were. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it's to profit. That's what the Spirit of God is given for. I know we've said that a bunch of times. It's to profit the body, the whole. I want to look over in Acts 2 and 1 to 13. Because here we find when the Holy Spirit was given, it tells us some things. And I want to look at this and read just a little. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, meaning other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. That was quite a witness of the gospel, wasn't it? Aren't we told that tongues, don't we read that they're given as a witness to those that are outside? This was a witness, wasn't it? This was the true gift of tongues. Folks, I want us to recognize what is the true and understand that we don't ever get swept up in what's not true. This was not the evidence. It was one of the gifts that was poured out here on this day. And it says they were... Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all those which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue or language, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Let's just settle that in our minds today. The Lord poured this out to edify the body. He poured this out to draw people in to the body, that they might fall down and say, the Lord is in you. Do you know this morning, when they heard the gospel, the wonderful works of God coming from these men, and here they all heard them in their languages, however that happened, I'm not positive how that happened. It was just a work of the Spirit, wasn't it? Wonderful work of the Spirit. Do you know this morning? Let's understand that. That's what happened. That's what the gift of tongues is. And so they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose." This was quite a sight. These fellows were happy, I'm sure. They were filled with the Spirit of God. It was fresh upon them, and they were speaking the things of God. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. "It shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And so we want to keep in mind why this was given. It was given to edify the work of God this morning. Let's just keep that in mind. All the gifts are given like that. They're given to edify the work of God. In Acts 10 and 44, we find it poured out again. Three places we find the gift of languages poured out upon people. And here it says, "While Peter yet spake these words," this was where Cornelius had been fasting and praying and seeking God, and the Lord came and blessed him, and they received the Spirit of God. And it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" You see, the same thing that had happened to them happened to these. "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they to him to tarry certain days." Now let's keep in mind something. There had been a heart work done here. There had been a heart work done. And the Spirit of God came upon these people then. And then they were baptized. And so keep in mind as we go out to the world, is it baptism that saves us? It's that heart work, isn't it? Yeah. Same thing that happened to the thief on the cross. So we just want to keep in mind a few little things here. I want to read just a few other places here. 1 Corinthians 1 and 14, or 14 and 14 to 17. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now I want to tell you, just as Paul had written earlier, that they might profit withal, he was talking about to everyone. And here he's speaking also, he's not talking about his own understanding being unfruitful. He says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Now, I don't know if I said all that too fast to understand. But you know what? "For thou verily givest thanks well." You're giving thanks. You're speaking in another language, but it's not doing these folks any good, speaking their language. And so we find here that people misunderstand this. Folks, as we go out to all the world, we're going to meet with every kind of thing, every kind of idea, every kind of doctrine, every kind of belief. Let's be founded on the Lord. We know what the Spirit gave. We know why he gave it, that they might all hear the wonderful works of God in their languages. And so the Lord still gives all of these gifts to edify the body of Christ. In 1 John, I'm going to read this. 1 John 4 and 2 to 3. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And the verse 1 he started with, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You know, the scriptures tell us that we have to not believe everything. Try them. Find out what's true, what lines with the Word of God, and what is with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, those spirits that confess in their life true holiness, folks, we can't live truly holy without the Spirit of God. Those spirits that do that are of God this morning. And so the Lord be with us each one. I know this has been a little tedious this morning. But folks, it's through the Spirit. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. It's through the Spirit of God that we have gifts. It's through the Spirit of God that we are able to love one another with unfeigned love, true love. It's through the Spirit of God that we are able to walk like true Christians this morning. So help us, Lord, that are the fruits of your Spirit will be our greatest witness. And that then you can take clean vessels and use them. The Lord has a lot of work he wants to do in the world. And I trust and I hope that each one of us, right where we are at, begin to minister to the Lord and seek him. And don't feel like I have to be on this plane or this level. No, begin to seek the Lord now. Begin to do what the Lord wants us to now. Minister to the Lord and see what the Lord will do with our life. It's a beautiful thing when God separates someone, when he calls, because we're members in particular. How do we know what member we are? Because the Spirit of God wants to move upon us. As we minister to the Lord, we're liable to just find out what our gift is. The Lord's liable to just begin to work in a way that makes those things plain. You pray for us. I want to be a blessing in the place that we're in. And let's pray for one another that the Lord has a lot of work he wants to do in our lives. Amen.